easy by yourself. Say it one more time. Survival mode isn't easy by yourself. It can be very difficult, especially if you don't know God. I don't know about you, but I lived in survival mode for quite a while. I lived in that survival mode so long that it became who I was. Just barely making it. Robbing Peter to pay Paul. Not paying the whole bill, but paying half the bill. Or maybe putting some on it. Thinking that I was going to get ahead. You see, survival mode can cause us to make decisions in life that will always keep us from our destiny. This single mother, Hagar, she didn't ask for this life, but this is what was handed to her. Reminds me of a story of a young woman named Maya. She was a talented artist. She was known for her vibrant street murals. Yet she struggled to make ends meet. With her mother seriously ill and medical bills piling up, and Maya's world seemed to be collapsing all around her. One evening, while painting a mural on the neglected building, Maya decided to pour her emotions into her art. And in so doing, she created a stunning piece depicting a woman overcoming enormous obstacles, a mirror of her own life. A passerby stopped to watch, deeply moved by the raw emotions and the beauty of her work. Among the crowd, there was a local businessman who was captivated by Maya's talent and story. Impressed by her determination and resilience, he offered her a significant commission to create a series of murals. This opportunity not only helped Maya financially, but it also brought attention to her art, opening other doors for further success. Maya's story of turning her hardship into a powerful expression of art parallels the biblical account of Ishmael and his mother. It serves as a reminder in our darkest moments that our resilience and talent can lead us on this unexpected path to hope and redemption. When I look at the story of Ishmael and Hagar, it is amazing to me because God can turn things around for all of us. I told you already in this series that you have to know that you will survive because you are a descendant of Abraham. That you have to know that you will survive because God will always, not sometimes, but God will always provide for you. You will survive because God will protect you. You will survive because of your faith. You will survive because you refuse to accept defeat. You will survive because you know God hears your cry. You will survive because you know that God knows where you are and what condition that you're in. As we continue with this story, we find that here Hagar is at the end of life, about to give up, about to throw in the towel. God heard the cry of the lad, not her, but heard the promised child crying. See, you may not look like the promised child. You may not be in line to be the promised child, but God has a plan for you. See, while he was with Abraham, he didn't have first place, even though he was the firstborn. He had second place because the promise was to the promised son. So Ishmael's life was just as important as Isaac. Interesting fact here, the text says that after God spoke to Hagar, giving her hope, look what she says. Look what he says. He says, arise, lift up the lad and hold him up. See that? Now watch this. First of all, she didn't have no strength. Come on and help me, somebody. This is the resilience I'm talking about. This is the persistence I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about, that when you and I feel like we can't go any further, we still have some more inside of us that we can tap into so that we can press forward. Anybody want to press forward? Anybody feel like you still have a little bit more left in you? You're not ready to give up just yet. It may not be looking the way you want to look. Stuff may not be coming the way you want to come. But it's not time yet, because you will survive. The text says, arise. God says, arise. So I believe that I will survive when I look to God's word for the strength to rise. That's my first point. When I what? When I look to God's word. See, can I ask you a question? Where do you get your strength from? Why is she getting up? She's getting up to get the lad on a command from God. Come on, help me, somebody. When you look at the word of God, there are 7,637 promises for the believers, and there are thousands of commands. Come on and help me, somebody. And I believe that if we're going to survive, watch this, she had to dig deep. But what gave her the strength was the voice of God. And it was the word of God that she got the strength to rise. Sometimes I just don't see a way out. But oh, when I open that word, oh, I wish I had somebody. Do you not know that the word of God is living? It's active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow. And it watches, and it judges the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. God's word is refined, watches, like silver, and it comes out pure. You read that today, hopefully. And so what I'm trying to say to you today is that you and I have to understand that, watch this, you ready? Ready for this? You ready for this? They are hungry for physical food, and God gives them a word to give them the strength to rise. So that brings me to this. Man should not live by bread alone. Oh, I wish I had somebody. But what? But by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What am I trying to say? They were feeding on God's word rather than, watch this, feeding on physical food. They were feeding on spiritual food. I'm trying to help somebody. See, here's how I know I'm going to survive, because I have an appetite for the word of God. Some of you eat 3, 4, 5 times a day. Come on, help me, somebody. Come on, help me now. Man, you can lay it out. Watch this. Your physical body is taken care of, but what about your spiritual body, your spiritual soul? And I believe that she survived from the words. God says, arise. Not just arise, that word arise means to stand up, to lift up the lad, and watch this, and what? Hold him by what? hold him by the hand. How is it that she's able to do this? Here's what the text is not telling you that the preacher is telling you today. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. If you and I start feeding on the word, you got a problem? Feed on the word. You got a situation? Feed on the word. You feeling tired? Feed on the word. Yesterday I put together three sermons in one day. And I was tired, but when I was done, I couldn't sleep. I stayed up all day. I said, I'm going to get me some more coffee. I said, no, I don't need no coffee. Ezra 7:10. Ezra set his heart to what? To study, to practice, and then teach. Listen, I got to taste test it before I... Y'all ain't here. Y'all quiet today? Don't get quiet on me today. I ain't quiet today. I'm not in quiet mode today. Watch this. The text says that God gave her word. Arise. Tell your neighbor it's time to rise. It's time to stand up. But stand on the promises of God and you will survive. Now, how did Hagar, an Egyptian, knew it was God? Watch this. When you're in the middle of the desert ready to give up on life, you start hearing all kinds of voices. And you do know that it's in the wilderness where Satan shows up. I wish I had somebody. Where the Spirit of God led him into the wilderness after he had gotten baptized, and Satan tempted him for 40 days and 40 nights. But thank God that Hagar was able to discern the voice of God over the voice of the devil. I know it doesn't say that, but I can imagine that Satan was the one telling her, go over there and die. Verse 16. She was ready to die, but she wasn't ready to give up just yet on dying. Amazing what I see in this passage. Now watch the text now. Text says, for I will make a what? A great what? Okay. This is an exercise for you. Okay? You ready? Give me my next point. I will survive because I believe in God's promises. You know what I found out about us? We can quote the promise. We can tell everybody else about the promise. But for some reason, we don't believe it ourselves. God was reconfirming when he said, watch this, for I will make a great nation of him. Watch this. Don't miss this. You ready? Don't miss this, okay? Watch this. In Genesis 17, throw it up on the screen. Don't go in your Bible. Just throw it up on the screen for me because I don't want to lose you. All right? It was promised 20-some years before, 15 years before. No, 17 and verse 20. He says, as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I will bless him. Oh, come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. Now watch. What? I want you to keep your Bible open, and then we're going to do a little contrast this morning. Comparison and contrast. As for Ishmael, I have what? What the world? I've heard you. Behold, I will what? Bless him, and I will make him what? And I will what? Hold on a second. Wait right there. Now look at his condition now. In verse 21. I'm sorry, chapter 21. What's his condition? He's about to die. Come on, his condition. See? Watch this. Watch this. Here's your life. God says this is what you're going to be. But you're living this life, but you don't see none of that happening. You don't see it happening at all. You don't see it. You can't perceive it. You're about to die. You're in the wilderness. You think it's over, but you got to go back to what God said about you. You got to go back to what God, what you heard God said and what God promises you. He says, I'm going to bless him. But his current condition does not match the promise. See, just because God says you're going to be blessed and favored and you're going to have a prosperous year and it's going to be a year of increase or whatever blessings you feel God is about to pour in your life, watch this. It may not look that way right now, but if God says it, you got to believe it. We have to believe it. And what happens to us is we look at our current situation and we think it's over. We look at our current situation and we think it's never going to happen for me. No, I ain't going to get no new house. No, I ain't going to get no new job. No, I can't start that business. Look at my situation. Look at my life right now. Look at how it looks right now. Nothing is happening. But God says, I will multiply him. And he shall become the father of what? 12 princesses. And I will make him what? Now you know who those people are today? The Arabs. In the central part of the Middle East, the western and the northern part of Arabia, they are the descendants of Ishmael. And guess what? They're the ones today that control the oil of the world. They're the ones that's building Dubai and Abu Dhabi and all these places. This is Ishmael's descendants. Watch where I'm going with this. You ready? But look at Ishmael now. Your beginning does not determine your end. But let me ask you this. What did God promise you? Some of us, the reason why I'm up here asking you to tithe, because you don't believe it. You're in survival mode. Always. You won't trust him. Watch this. You won't even trust him to do a little bit more. I just stand up here, and the Lord said, okay, at 9 o'clock, I'm just going to put in cash. I give my tithes at 11, but I'm gonna sow at 9, and I'm gonna reap at 11. See, when God puts stuff on your heart, you got to do it. And here's the thing: as believers with the promises, why don't we look like it? Why don't we live like it? Come on, help me, somebody. God made this promise. What God was doing here in verse 18, he was re-establishing the promise again. He was reminding Hagar. But you know what? Hagar didn't know this. God made the promise to Abraham, and he didn't reveal it to Hagar until she was about to die. Oh, Lord, mercy. I wonder why Abe didn't say before they left. Can y'all walk with me here for a minute? Y'all must be thinking. Y'all thinking real deep. Watch this. Why didn't Abraham say, babe, you're going to be all right? Because God said this was going to happen. See, for these motivational preachers, watch this. No, God wanted her to get in the situation that she was in so that she would be ready for the revelation. Sometimes you're wondering why God hadn't showed it to you just yet. It is because you're not ready for it. Because if God would have showed it to you while you were in with Abraham, you probably would have mocked Ishmael a little bit more. Don't you know I'm going to be great like you? He was already mocking him. But when they got into the wilderness, listen, the wilderness is not a bad place. You know, you got to know how to survive in the wilderness. And here's how you survive in the wilderness. You got to feed on the word of God. And then what you have to do is believe what? His promises. Oh, man, that was such a great revelation for me. Watch verse 19. Y'all ain't saying that. Watch verse 19. It says, then God what? Then. See, you can't have your eyes open before you believe. I don't believe if she didn't believe the promise, her eyes would not have been open. But let's ask a question. Was the water always there? She just couldn't see it? And why couldn't she see it? I wish I had somebody. Because she was caught up in self. She was caught up in survival. She was caught up in distress. And watch this. And then in her mind, she could not believe that there will be water in a dry place. But oh, when you know God. Where my people at? Y'all asleep back there? Come on, help me somebody. Come on, help me somebody. Watch this. When you're in a dry place, God can do some impossible things. When you're in a dry place, God can turn your desert experience into your deliverance experience. The text says, then God what? Opened her eyes and she saw a what? A well of what? Water. Vision is not just dreaming. You know what it is? It's seeing the impossible. It's seeing what's possible, watch this, in the present and also in the future. So the next point is this. I will survive because God will open my spiritual and what? See, here's the thing. I think that many of us can't see it because all we got is our physical eyes open. It's hard to see possibilities in impossible situations. I am determined that I will survive. Come on, help me somebody. I'm gonna say it one more time. I am determined. Listen. When you're ready to give up and die, how many times do we leave things on the table just because we don't see it? Just because we're consumed with the wrong things. See, when you're in this moment, you got to know that there are possibilities, but you need vision. She believed. But then God opened her eyes to see what she needed for that moment. Don't miss that second point. Don't miss that second point. The text goes on to say, and she went and filled the skin with water. She didn't drink herself. She's taking care of the promise. Lord have mercy. She's taking care of the most important thing right now is the person that God has made the promise to. He's going to be a great nation. She did not have the insight of chapter 17, verse 20. She didn't have that insight. So she's operating by faith. She went, filled the skin with water, and gave the lad a drink. I will survive, lastly, because I'm willing to go get what I need to survive. Well, the problem with us is we want to pray. Put that point up there. We want to pray. We want to ask, but we don't want to seek. And we don't want to knock. We just want to drop out the sky. You want the, who is it? Job. Who is it? Opportunity. Who is it? Customers. Who is it? New opportunity. I learned something last week. I got all these genius ideas, and everything is set in place, but until I pick up that phone and call a customer, all I got is product. Until I reach out and touch the decision maker, I just got stuff. I'm willing to go do, to go get. She saved her son by getting up and getting him what he needed to survive. And he sold food in L.A. on Fairfax. I used to go there. They serve real good food. The chicken wings are meaty and awesome. The oxtails and the short ribs are delicious. They also post weekly specials on their Instagram that aren't part of their regular menu, like gumbo, seafood, Cajun, pasta, and the banana pudding. Lord have mercy. And everything seasoned real good. And you wash it down with the sweet, sweet, sweet Kool-Aid. Now, you know, it'd be a mistake if you were on a diet and you spent a lot of time thinking about Annie's, because you'd be thinking about the source of your problem. And most of us focus on our sins we're trying to overcome. When we focus on what's wrong, but focusing on what's wrong is only going to refuel us in the wrong direction. See, the devil wants us to focus on ourselves and our problems instead of focusing on Christ. See, you can't focus on the problem because it's good, because it's consuming you. You got to focus on the one who's able to bring you through. Thank you. It's about time. You got to focus on the one who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. I will survive. You know why? Because I know the promises of God. And the Bible says the promises of God are yes and amen. The promises of God are real. I thank God for giving me a deep dive into the life of Abraham, Lot, Ishmael, Isaac coming next. But as I want to say this as I close, you cannot focus on your sin and think you're going to go forward. Give God a hand clap of praise. It's an interesting fact that when you look at Scripture, you just got to take it one verse at a time, one word at a time, and you start picking at it. That revelation, if you don't remember anything about this message today, do the contrast. Second point, do the contrast. Genesis 17:20 and Genesis 21:18. He, his mother, and him knew nothing. Let me ask you a question. What does God say about your destiny? I may preach this on Destiny Night. I may elaborate on this in Destiny Night. Thank you, Lord. I've prepared three sermons already. But your destiny, God has already decided that. He will be a what? A great nation. 12 princesses will come out of him. And watch this. And God is so awesome about his promise. I've never seen a broke Arab in my life. They own all the corner stores in America. And I'm not stereotyping. This is truth. They do. How is it they come here and you've been living here your whole life? And how you're blessed now is because of the church, because you got linked up with Jesus. You got into that lineage. And because of that lineage, see, I'm determined this year to not just talk, but I'm setting goals and I'm going after them. I'm not sitting around. Listen, there's a time for everything. All right? It's time to have fun. It's time to party. All right? There's time to chill out, time to hang out. But you can't want to hang out every day. That's what our problem is. When you clock out, you need to clock in on your destiny. Finish those things that you're supposed to do that you've been putting off all these years. What are you afraid of? Isn't that something? I'm going to deal with that. It's a mentality. And I believe our church has a mentality that needs to be broken. For real. Sometimes we're up. I watch you. Some day you come in, you were smiling. And then the next day you come in, you're looking like you're off the wall. Why isn't your joy consistent? Why don't you have a consistent flow of joy? Life is that tough. But this woman was in the wilderness feeding on the word of God and a promise. But then she acted on what God told her.